It's like, why are we here on earth? And we said that God's ultimate plan is to bless every family all over the world. And he's going to do that through the son of Abraham, which is Jesus Christ, which he died on the cross and brought salvation. And it's available to everybody. And through the cross, he defeated our enemy for us so that we no longer have to be fighting against our enemy. But he's already defeated. And through all of this, all of the nations will come and worship Jesus. We see in Revelation chapter 7, John gets a look into heaven and he sees every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every people worshiping God. And that is the ultimate plan of God. And we talked about how the church is going to be involved in that, how God is going to use the local church to fulfill his purpose in life. And we're not talking about the organization of the church, but the body of believers, the church. We said that the local church is the hope of the world. We are his plan. There is no backup plan. It is up to us to reach the nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we talked about different ways that we personally can reach the nations. And we said that it's everybody's job. Everybody is called to serve their church, serve their community, serve the lost and hurting, and serve the nations. And God has called us all to do these. And we talked about six different ways that you personally can reach out to the nations and reach out into different parts of your community. And if you missed any of that, we have it all on our website. You can go there and listen to it, or we'll give you a CD if you don't have internet. And we don't want you to miss any of this. But we all have a part to play in fulfilling the ultimate purpose of God in life. He's called each and every one of us. He's gifted and talented all of us and given us passions in our heart so that we can fulfill his purpose in life. In Colossians, it says it this way. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 9, this is actually Paul praying for the church. He said, "So we have not stopped praying for you since we've heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will." What has God called you to do? Praying that God will reveal that to all of us. "And to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better." See, we all need to understand why we are here. We need to live a life on purpose. We need to live a life worth dying for. See, Jesus lived a life worth dying for. He knew that his call and his purpose on his life, which was to come and live the perfect life, to be the sacrifice on the cross that will ultimately pay for the sins and pay the punishment for all of the wrong that we have done, that all of humanity has done. And through that, we can have relationship with God. And through that, we can have the blessed life. And through that, we will ultimately have a home in heaven. That was Jesus' purpose while he was here on the earth. And he thought it was worth dying for. And I believe that the call and purpose of God on everybody's life is worth dying for. Now, you might not physically have to die for your calling in life, but you might be called to die to yourself in your purpose in life. Because let me tell you something. As I was growing up and I was in college, man, I had a plan for my life. Man, I had it all figured out. I knew what I was going to do. I knew I was going to make a lot of money and have lots of stuff and it was going to be great. But God said, no. That I don't want you to start a business. I don't want you to do that. I have put a calling on your life to preach the gospel. And so I had to die to myself. I had to let my dreams die in order to fulfill God's call on my life. And let me tell you something. His call on my life is so much better than anything I could have ever produced in my own life. And that's what we're talking about. We need to live a life worth dying for. So how do we live on purpose? How do you live out your purpose? That's what we're going to talk about today. And it does, living your life on purpose just doesn't happen because you decided to. There's more than just making a decision. Yeah, I'm going to live my life on purpose. But you have to live your life intentionally and very purposeful every single day in order to fulfill God's calling on your life. You have to have a game plan. Now, growing up, you know, I mean, we played sports all of our lives, and lots of things in the Bible I relate to sports just because that's what I know. That's a part of me. And as I was playing football, each week the coach would put together a game plan. And actually the first, I can't remember, it was either 5 or 10 plays was scripted. This is what we're going to run no matter what. You know, and after that we're going to kind of go by whatever formation they're doing or all of that stuff. And the coach had a game plan. And for the game plan to work, you had to execute it every single play. If you only execute it half the time, more than likely you're not going to win. All right? And so you had to have a game plan. In life, we have to have a game plan. And in our game plan, that means for us that we need to have a game plan for our everyday life. See, Christianity isn't one of those one-time decisions and you're good. But it's a decision that you have to make every single day to follow God in order to follow God's plan for your life. It's a decision you make every single day. And there's daily habits that we need. There's daily disciplines that we need, daily practices that we need in order to be able to live God's plan for our life. It's not going to happen on accident, but it's going to be something very intentional and purposeful that we have to do in our lives. See, in football, every day we practiced the basics. We had to have the basics down. Every day we had tackling drills. Every day the quarterback practiced his handoffs. Every day the center and the quarterback practiced snaps. And they practiced their passes and kicking. And that's stuff that you had to practice every single day. Because if you don't have the basics down, then you're not going to, the game plan doesn't matter. And we need to get back to the basics in our Christian life. And the stuff that we're going to talk about today, this is stuff that you've heard. It's stuff that you've heard all your life that you need to do. But it's we got to get back to the basics. And we need to build in daily practices in our lives in order to be able to intentionally live life on purpose and intentionally to live a life worth dying for. So let's talk about 4 different practices that we need in our everyday life in order to make this happen. And if you get these 4 down, you are above the curve. I mean, you're ahead of the curve. You're probably further along than most Christians if you can just get these 4 things down in your daily life. So the first one we're going to talk about is the practice of community. The practice of community. We need each other. You cannot live the Christian life on your own. You cannot fulfill God's purpose on your own. You need a group of friends that can come around you and surround you to support you, to pray for you, to be there for you in your times of need. Because we're all going to struggle. We're all going to have times where we want to quit. And we all have those times where it's just like, oh, why am I even doing this? What is the purpose of this? And you need someone there to be your cheerleader. To say, you can do this, man. You know this is what God has made you to do. And when you're doing it, man, you have so much joy and peace. And I mean, you just know you're in the right spot. You know, just keep going. It's going to get better. I'm praying for you. And we need people in our lives. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says it like this. It says, let us hold tightly without wavering to hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and to good works. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. We got to have Christian friends. And I'm not just talking about surface relationships where, you know, you're talking about, hey, how's it going? Man, I'm doing good. Did you see the ball game last night? Oh, man, it's awesome. We're going to the lake this afternoon. And we need to get past all of that. And we need to make deep relationships happen in our lives. And that's one of the reasons here at Believers that we do life groups, so that you can get plugged into a group of believers that are there to pray for you and to encourage you and to get to know you. See, sadly, there's a lot of Christians out there that nobody truly knows them. And when they come into the church, they put on their Christian mask. And people say, hey, how you doing? Oh, man, life is great. Everything's going good. But deep down inside, you're hurting. And you're lost and you're just needing someone to be there for you. See, if you have deep relationships, deep Christian friends, people that can look at you when you say that you're doing fine, then they'll just say, no, you're not. There's something going on. What's happening? What can I do for you? How can I pray for you? We all need people like that in our lives. We all need people there to pray for us and encourage us and support us. Another way we can have community in our lives is by having a mentor. Someone who is further down the road than us that can help us, that can speak into our lives and invest in us. I believe that every single one of us needs somebody who can look into our lives and say, I've been there. I know that this thing that you're doing is not good. And so let me encourage you to try this instead. Here's a book that will encourage you. Here's something that will help you out in your life. This will help you out in your business. This will help you out in your family life. We need people that are further along in the road than us that can look into our lives and invest in us and help us to live the best life possible. So we need those deep relationships to where we know people and that we're known. The practice of community. The second thing that we need is the practice of prayer. And we talked about this a few weeks ago, and we said that prayer is the most powerful thing that we have available to us as Christians. And we're not just talking about praying over your meals and praying before you go to bed, but practice of prayer is something so much more than just praying for your own needs. And I call these selfish prayers because lots of times we pray about stuff, you know, God bless me, God help me pay this bill, God help me. And there's nothing wrong with those prayers, but if that's all that you're praying, then you're falling way short of what prayer can add to your life. See, prayer is not just a problem-solving procedure for you. Yes, we need to pray about our problems and our issues, but prayer is so much more than that. We need to be praying things about things that will bring glory to God. We need to be praying for the nations. We need to be praying that people come to Christ. And we need to pray that we live lives that reflect His glory in our lives. We need to be praying that God will bless others. We need to be praying for our friends and our family and for our enemies and praying, just praying for other people that God will bring blessing into them so that they can come to know Jesus Christ. We need to be praying for the nations, as we've talked about in the past. We need to be praying for God's will to be done. We see in Matthew chapter 6, we call this the Lord's Prayer. And this is, you know, a prayer that Jesus modeled for us, but I don't believe it's something that we're supposed to pray verbatim. But I think it's a pattern of prayer that we can have in our lives. And it goes like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. I believe that we need to come to God with respect and reverence. I believe we need to come to Him knowing that He is the Almighty. He is the Creator of everything, and we need to come in reverence to Him. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need to be praying for God's will to be done in our lives, for God's will to be done in other people's lives, for God's will to be done in the earth. And we talked about what God's will is, that all come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Pray for God's will to be done in our lives and in the earth. And we need to pray about our own needs. Give us today our daily bread. Give us the food that we need for today. Forgive us of our sins. We need to be conscious of when we fall short of what God has for us, and be willing to repent of our sins and our shortcomings. And we also need help in forgiving others as we forgive those who have sinned against us. But don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. It's a great pattern of prayer that we have in the Word of God. Another one we find in Ephesians chapter 3, and it's a prayer that Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. And it's a prayer that I've prayed for myself a lot, and I've prayed for other people. And it's just a beautiful prayer that we can look at and kind of see patterns of what we can pray for. Stuff that we can go beyond just our mealtime prayer and our bedtime prayers. Something that is actually deep in prayer. It says this in Ephesians 3:16. It says, I pray for His glorious and unlimited resources, that He will empower you with strength in your spirit. Then Christ will make His home in our hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong, that you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great for you to understand fully. Then you will be made complete in all fullness of life and the power that comes from God. Now all the glory to God, who is able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we ask or think. Glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. An amazing prayer that we can pray. And it goes deeper than, you know, God bless this person and God help this person. But you can truly pray for God, help them to understand your love and grow deep roots in you and help them to have wisdom and knowledge in their life and live out their purpose in life. We need to have the practice of prayer. We need to have the practice of simplicity in our lives. See, we all have stuff that we don't need. And it seems like in America, you know, the more stuff that you have, the more happy you're supposed to be. That's the American dream, right? You know, have the nice house, the two cars, the 2.5 kids and a dog and a cat, and everything's wonderful. You know, but in reality, stuff equals payments. Can I get a witness? You know, there's lots of stuff that I want, but I don't want to have to make payments. I want a boat. I want to be able to, you know, take my kids out on the lake and have fun, but I don't want the payments. You know, there's lots of stuff that I want in my life, but stuff doesn't equal happiness. And that's the, it seems like the trap that lots of times we get into that, you know, if I can just get that good set of golf clubs, man, I'll be happy. Or if I can get that new car, you know, I'll be happy. But see, God wants us to be generous. See, when Jesus was here on the earth, he was very generous with his time, with everything that he had. He was very generous. He lived to serve other people. He lived to be generous in his life. And I believe that that's the same thing that God wants us. He wants us to live to give. He wants us to be generous in our lives as well. And sometimes that means cutting back in our lives and bringing more simplicity into our lives so that we can have more money to give, so that we can have more time to spend. Because the greatest thing that you have in your life is time. You can never get back time. You can always make more money, but you can never get back time. And so many times we have to work 70, 80 hours a week to pay for our stuff that we use once or twice a year. And we get caught up in this cycle where we have to work so much and make these payments and do all this that we don't have time to fulfill God's purpose in our life because we're so concerned about paying our bills and making sure that all this stuff is taken care of. When God wants us to be generous, maybe we need to simplify our lives a little bit so that we can do what God needs us to do. Because ultimately, our purpose rests in His purpose in reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to simplify our lives. We need the practice of community, the practice of prayer, the practice of simplicity. And the last one is the practice of continual learning. You should never be satisfied with where you are in life. There's always something else to learn. There's always something else that you need to know. And the best way to learn is through God's Word. That should be the number one way that we learn in our lives is through God's Word, because God's Word contains most everything that we need to know about life, most everything we need to know about raising kids, about marriage, about how to run your business. We need to base our lives on God's Word. In fact, we see in the Scripture in Psalms chapter 1, it says, "Oh, the joy of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in the mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night." Coming back to the daily practices, we need to be in God's Word daily. "For they are like trees planted along the riverbanks, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they will prosper in all they do." We need to be in God's Word. Psalms 119:9. "How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I have recited aloud all the regulations you have given us. I have rejoiced in your law as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I delight in your decrees and not forget your words." The Word of God should be so precious to us that it's something that we look forward to every single day. And I know some of you are thinking, well, when I sit down to read the Bible, I just don't understand. I don't get it. I understand that. Every time that I sit down to read God's Word, I say, "God, open my eyes. help me to understand what you're saying to me through your word. And it's amazing how when I pray that prayer, it's just like scriptures are just jumping off the page at me. And it's God speaking into my life. The Holy Spirit, one of His jobs is to bring us into all truth, to be our teacher. And as we are studying God's word, just ask God, God, help me to understand. And it's amazing how your eyes will be opened to His word. We need to have continual learning. Learning from God's word. We need to invest ourselves in books. And I know some of y'all are thinking, you know, why do I need to read someone else's opinion? Well, I believe that, as we said earlier, everybody has gifts and talents and passions from God. And I believe that God has gifted and talented people to write certain books on certain subjects to speak into our lives and to bring clarity into our lives. And I believe that, truly and honestly, there are books out there that can teach us how to live our lives, that can bring wisdom and knowledge into our lives, that will help explain God's word to us in a lot of ways. We need to be reading books that challenge us. And it's one of my hopes and prayers that this series has challenged you, not just inside, but it challenged you to action. And we need to read books like that that will challenge us in our daily lives. You know, challenge us to step out and be more generous. You know, challenge us in our leadership in our home. Challenge us to raise our kids in a right manner. And I believe that God has gifted and talented people to write books that will challenge us. I believe that there's people that are gifted and talented to stir passions on the inside of us. Because God has put passions on the inside of us. And I believe that there's books out there that will stir up the gift of God on the inside of you. And we need to invest ourselves in reading and continual learning. See, as I was growing up, I hated reading. In college, I just read the bare minimum to pass my test. And I just never enjoyed reading. And it's something that I have grown to love. It's a discipline that I'm trying to build into my own life to where it's becoming a joy to me. To where I look forward to times where I can sit down and read and study and begin to learn. Because as we continually learn, our minds can be expanded and God can use us in many more ways than what He's using us now. And as usual, I have my table set up out here with information about different people groups and how we can reach the nations, pray for unreached people groups. I've got information out there about Buddhism this week. About how the gospel is reaching in to the Buddhist religion. And also there are some prayer cards out there. The Buddhist of China. I just want to encourage you to stop out there and grab one of those prayer cards. And pray for that unreached people group who are Buddhists over in China. And pray for them every week that their eyes will be open to the gospel. And that God is sending laborers into their lives. Another thing I have back there is a recommended book list. These are books that I have personally read that have challenged me, that have inspired me, that have stirred passions on the inside of me. And if you're looking for something to read, maybe one of these books will speak to you. On the front side, it's books that have stirred a passion on the inside of me. One of them is called Beyond the Soiled Curtain. And it's David Grant. He's a part of Project Rescue. And the book is all about the ministry of Project Rescue reaching out to those in sex slavery in Bombay, India. And it's just a tragedy that young girls as young as, you know, 6 and 7 are caught up in this sex slavery where men come and just have their way with them. And it's not just one, but it's, you know, 8, 9, 10 a day. And it's just heartbreaking to see this. And Project Rescue is a group that is reaching out to these young women in the brothels in India. And it just stirred something on the inside of me. In fact, you know, for me to read a book, it usually takes me several weeks. I read this book in like 4 days. And it was just something that stirred on the inside of me about the girls caught in sex slavery in Bombay, India. And I don't know what God's going to do with that. It might be something that He might call me to go there one day and work with that. I don't know. It might be just that He's trying to stir my heart so I can mobilize some of you guys to be involved in that. I don't know what it is, but there's certain books that have stirred me. And I put that on that list. So stop by there and grab that recommended book list if you're interested in that. So if we want to live a life worth dying for, And we need to have these four practices in our lives: the practice of community, the practice of prayer, the practice of simplicity, and the practice of continual learning. So now the question is, where do we go from here? What is it that I need to do? What is my next step? We all have a next step. None of us have arrived. We all have something else that God wants us to step into. Prayer team, if you want to go ahead and get in place. Over the last 5 weeks, we talked about God's plan, about reaching the nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We talked about the church's plan, how God's going to use the local church in order to make this happen. We talked about how God's going to use you and me to make this happen. And today we've talked about what it's going to take to live a life that you can live out your purpose in life. And my question to you is, what is your next step? What is it that God wants you to do next? Because we all have a next step. Some of y'all might be saying, man, I'm so far away from this. I don't have a clue where to start. I don't even know where to begin on this. Well, first of all, you have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where it all starts. You cannot fulfill God's purpose on your life. You cannot live a life on purpose if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the number one step. Some of y'all might need to take that step today in order to begin this life. You might need to recommit yourself to God's calling and purpose on your life. Maybe you don't know what your purpose is in life. Maybe you don't know what God needs you to do. Ask for wisdom. God is readily available His wisdom and guidance for you. Maybe it is you know what your purpose is, but you're not doing your purpose. It's time to step up and get involved. It's time to take action. It's time to begin to use your gifts and talents for His glory. You need to get plugged in. Ask God, where is it that you need me to serve? But I just want to encourage every single one of us to begin the daily practices in our lives. You might have to start with one of them and work on that one and get good at that one, then add another one to it. Get good at that one and continue to add these daily practices in your life. What is your next step? Our prayer team is ready here. If you need someone to pray for you, if you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you need to recommit your life, if you need someone to pray with you and asking for wisdom, these guys are ready to pray with you. If you're sitting in your seats and you don't want anybody to pray with you, just ask God this question: God, what is my next step? What is it that you need me to do in order to fulfill your purpose in life? So if we could all stand, and we're going to sing a worship song, and as we're worshiping, if you need prayer, come forward. Or if you don't need prayer, just ask God the question: God, what do you need me to do?